So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network. And I've got to tell you, we're going to start the week off right. Yep, we're going to start off wondering where the hell Mr. Martin is. He should actually be joining us here in a few minutes. So Ed Martin will be here in a few minutes. I tell you, it is the start of a new year, the first full work week of the new year. We're expecting things to happen. We're wanting to get excited. We know that Congress is going to do their job. We know that, never mind. We know that was going to happen. We had Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi all over the airwaves over the weekend trying to sell the same garbage to each one of us. Nancy Pelosi is screaming that the president needs to use the 14th Amendment, and he has the power to bypass Congress and basically do whatever he wants to do in regards to the fiscal cliff and do not recognize the debt ceiling. We've got Mitch McConnell going on there saying, well, now we're going to be true conservatives. Yep, we're going to be true conservatives now. We're going to face the problem that's really destroying this country, that's spending. The tax issue is now behind us. So we're not going to talk about new taxes again. Kind of seems like we had that conversation before, doesn't it? And that seems to be the biggest problem. We've still got the same lies, innuendo, and BS coming from both sides of the aisle. Nancy Pelosi even tried to scream about how the Democrats were so bipartisan under George Bush that they could work with George Bush, but the Republicans refused to work with Barack Obama. Now, folks, I'm not the smartest man in the world, and I was born one day, but it wasn't yesterday. Get ready for more of the same. The Republicans are going to continue to try to use the so-called fiscal cliff the so-called sequester, and all of this other information they're going to continue to try to use to act like they really care. But the fact of the matter is, out-of-control spending is a bipartisan product. Mitch McConnell loves it. Nancy Pelosi loves it. They can go on Face the Nation and try to sell the American people on anything they want to sell us on. But the reality is, they're both guilty as hell, and they don't really care. They're multimillionaires. They don't care what happens to me and you, the little guy. Mr. Martin, how are you, sir?
All right, sir. Sorry I was a few minutes late, but I had to repeat something. Remember, I've got to get a fire going in the wood-burning stove so that, you know, and I can't let smoke in the house, and my wife will, you know, she'll do me in.
Yeah, yes. So we're back to the A excuse. Okay, we got that. Believe me, I know about the wife getting involved, man. That can be treacherous to any married man. And any of you guys have been married for more than 3 years, you know what I'm talking about. And I always say 3 years because the first year you're all in love. Nobody can do any wrong. The second year you're kind of like, well, maybe they're not as good as I thought. And after the third year, you're like, get the hell away from my toothbrush. So you know what the real deal is at that point. You know, Ed, we're sitting here tonight talk about this fiscal cliff. We're going to talk about the TARP bailouts. You know, actually, you've been putting a lot of information out today on Facebook, on your Facebook page, Over Martin, and we're going to get into a little bit of that. And there's another story out today that nobody is really paying attention to either. But, you know, well, let's kind of start with the Matt Taibbi story from Rolling Stone. And I've got to go there. Matt Taibbi is one of those guys who I just love. I really do. He doesn't give a crap what people think. He's going to put out what he thinks is the truth, but he's going to back it up with facts. And that's exactly what we try to do here. So to say I'm not a fan of Matt Taibbi, I'd be lying to you. But what's really interesting here is he put a story out in the Rolling Stone, and you know the story is telling everybody about the secrets and lies of the TARP bailout. Go ahead, Ed. I want you to give a little background on this because this is very interesting to me. I've read the story, and I know you have. Go ahead.
Well, I haven't read this. I've skimmed the story. I found it at work, started to read it. Like, hey, you know, I'll be honest. Sometimes I use Facebook as a library. I just tuck things in there. So why don't you go and I'll wait in?
Well, essentially, all right. Well, you know, never mind the links that Ed Martin puts up.
I put stuff on my own wall sometimes. So it's like, okay, I got it. Now I'll go back and read it later.
we need to start having you put a disclaimer on your Facebook wall then, you know. This post does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of Mr. Edward Mark. Probably hasn't read it yet.
I know it all. I could just say, I know it all anyway. So, yeah, I read the first three lines. I know what he's talking about, you know.
Well, essentially, what really brings this up for me, what made this story relevant to me, is everything that's been going on with Hurricane Sandy lately. You know, Chris Christie was chastising Republicans, especially John Boehner last week, for not approving the bill for Hurricane Sandy relief. And as we pointed out on the show one day last week, you know, the Senate had already approved over $64 billion for Sandy relief, and the Senate had come back with a measly $38 billion. Now, at that time, you know, just based on those two reports, I could understand Chris Christie's anger. But since then, we've done some more research, and we started realizing that John Boehner actually was right. Yep, folks, I said it. John Boehner was actually right by holding that bill up. It was loaded with so much pork and so many giveaways to everything but Hurricane Sandy. And the House finally agreed to a little over $9 billion in hurricane relief, but it's purely directed at Hurricane Sandy relief. It's not directed as a pork-filled, you know, game. And that's what I was talking about Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell earlier. They want to continue screaming back and forth like they have some relevance, but it's all about pork and spending. Well, as I started doing all this is why the article you put up today by Rolling Stone's Matt Taibbi, The Secrets and Lies of the Bailout, becomes important. Because here's the deal. It's been 4 years, 4 years since Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson, who was Treasury Secretary then, put up the $700 billion TARP bailout. But this bailout was supposed to go to help the American people. But everything that was sold in this bailout was a complete lie. And the way that lie started is at the very beginning, you know, Paulson couldn't get anybody to pass this. I mean, you're talking about trillions of public dollars that were in jeopardy. So he had to rescue Goldman Sachs and Citigroup and all these guys from their own stupidity, as Matt Taibbi points out. But what happened here was Paulson needed some kind of congressional approval because it wasn't something that he could do on his own. He had to have congressional approval to get this. So Paulson actually told Congress that if they didn't get $5.5 trillion, or I'm sorry, if they didn't get this bill in September of 2008, Paulson actually told Congress that if they didn't get the bailout bill, $5.5 trillion in wealth would disappear by 2 o'clock that afternoon. He told him that at 11 o'clock in the morning on September 2008, on 18th September. So immediately, in 3 hours, which kind of reminds me of this whole fiscal cliff bill they just passed, Rand Paul pointed out that they got the bill at 1:36 and had to vote on it at 1:39 a.m. 3 minutes later. And that's why he voted against it. So we've got this whole situation. And they said if they didn't take immediate action, the world economy would collapse within 24 hours. All right? So that started this whole roll. Everybody was freaking out. Can we get money? Can we get money? The White House and both party leaders actually agreed. But it died in the House because Democrats lined up against it. Democrats tried to save you money, folks. So we had a little bit of sanity in 2008 from the Democrats. You can't argue with that, and I'm glad to see that. And that's what's missing today with those like Nancy Pelosi. So Paulson had to come up with something better to convince those Democrats that this TARP bailout was needed. And what he did was, he said the Treasury was going to buy $700 billion of troubled mortgages from the banks and then modify those mortgages to help struggling homeowners. Section 109 of this TARP Bailout Act, in fact, it specifically empowered the Treasury Secretary, then Paulson, to facilitate loan modifications to prevent avoidable foreclosures. With that on the table, Democrats said, okay, we're going to pass this bill because it's going to help our base, the poor people and the mortgage holders. As we know now, Ed, none of that happened, did it?
No. I mean, the money went to the banks. And it just went on and on and on. They used TARP funds to bail out non-banks like General Electric and stuff like that. I mean, And General Motors. I mean, they used it for everything. They used it as a slush fund to cover virtually any kind of activity you could think about. I mean, they were looking. Stimulus. They went for green companies. I mean, they wouldn't stop. TARP stimulus TARP. You know, they were doing bookkeeping, and then sometimes they mingled funds and said, oh well, you know, the stimulus part of it's TARP money we didn't spend or whatever. It's like, really? They spent it on everything. And of course, you know, Hank Paulson, when he made all these pleas, they're of course politicians. You know, I just don't know what to think of them anymore. Are they evil geniuses, or are they just that stupid? But, you know, they took it on a blank check, and they handed it over. Nobody bothered to say, oh, by the way, you know, are the CEOs and the boards of these places, are they going to be removed since they obviously figured out how to wreck these massive companies and screw the taxpayers? You know, nobody stood up to say, Hank Paulson there, oh, well, $5 trillion is going to disappear. And I would have, you know, had I been up there, I'd have said, define disappear.
Well, what's really fascinating too is because the original plan.
I always tell people, like, what's going to happen? Are these houses that are in these mortgages, are they going to like crumple up and disappear, like at the end of Poltergeist or something? Or what saying is somebody's lied about value of it is going to disappear. So what he was saying was, is all the values and all the valuations and all the leverage that people put on it. And all the gambles and the derivatives and the swaps and everything had, you know what? Hey, guess what? It's like a blackjack table or a roulette table.
What's interesting here, too, though.
When you don't hit, hey, guess what? The chips disappear. They don't actually disappear. They just change hands. You know, it's like you don't have them anymore. And that's what he's protecting. The banks didn't want to lose. You know, they basically wanted to bet all they wanted to bet on the roulette table. At the end, they wanted to say, okay, well, all right, hey, look, our number didn't come up. Can we get a do-over? Can somebody cover here, you know? And that's basically what they got from Hank Paulson. And Hank Paulson got a peach job out of it.
Well, Paulson got more than that. We're going to talk about that after the break. We're going to take a quick break, folks. This is the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned. You're going to love what's coming.
Oh, being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities.
Hey, everybody, gather around. I'm here to give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government.
The government.
The government can.
Yes, the government can, folks. The government can do any damn thing they want to do. Just ask them. They'll tell you that. They'll take your guns, they'll take your money, and they'll dare you to challenge them on anything. Unfortunately, that ain't the way we live here at the Ed Springsteen Show or the MVM Radio Network or LouisvillePolitics.com. Quickly, for you guys that are new to the show, 858-683-1326 and 502-805-0334 are the call-in numbers. You can join us in our live chat right now here at BTR. For you guys that are listening in the queue, there's always a bunch of you, just remember to press that number one on your dial pad, and that lets us know that you want to get on air, and we'll bring you on and talk about what's on your mind. You know, Ed, going into break, we're talking about this bailout. But what makes this really interesting, and it leads to where we're at today, because that $700 billion has to be paid back, right? And so we're at where we're at today. But what's really fascinating about this is the original TARP bailout that the White House approved, the leaders of both parties approved. That means, you know, the Democrats were in charge of the Congress in 2008, both the House and the Senate. But it specifically mentions in Tiabi's article, both parties approved. That means Senate Minority Mitch McConnell approved. You know, as he's saying now that, you know, we're not going to talk about tariffs anymore.
Also,
we're going to talk about spending.
Candidate Barack Obama and candidate John McCain flew back to Washington to approve.
Exactly, and they both voted for it. And what's really interesting is the original version that the 95 Democrats held out against basically gave Paulson the power to spend the money any way he chose to spend it without any review by any court of law or any administrative agency. So this was a $700 billion blank check to Hank Paulson. That was it. Congress could not do anything about it, and that's why 95 Democrats held out.
We should clarify. Hank Paulson, formerly of Goldman Sachs. Okay.
Exactly, yeah, we put, you know, that's putting the fox in charge of the hen house. But, you know, so then we got that. So when they changed that and said that the Treasury was going to buy $700 billion of the mortgages and modify to help the homeowners, blah, 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 you know, Section 109 of the Act, you know, specifically empowered the Treasury Secretary, Paulson, to facilitate the loan modifications to prevent avoidable foreclosures. Most of the foreclosures that are going on, folks, and have been going on for the last few years, and people are losing their homes and everything else, are avoidable foreclosures. Everybody thinks that because you're in foreclosure, because you don't have any money and you're deadbeat. That's not true. Most of these foreclosures were all illegal foreclosures because the banks stepped on a tripwire when they started running short on money because they screwed themselves and wasn't running their business right. So the Democrats bought the second plan. They passed the bill, all right? And ultimately, as soon as it got passed, the Fed and the Treasury decided they were going to abandon purchasing all of these homes. And they took, you know, and they took direct cash injections into Goldman and Citigroup. So instead of buying these mortgages up, letting Goldman and Citigroup do their thing, service on the mortgages and everything else, they said, you know what, we're just going to give you guys the cash. You can do with it what you want to. So Section 109 was basically ditched. Nobody's done one damn thing with it. So instead of having this bailout of homeowners and banks as one and working everybody together, they ditched exactly what they agreed to do to get it passed. So we were lied to, folks. It is that simple. The banks got the cash. The homeowners got the shaft. Go ahead, Ed.
Well, the banks got the shaft. I mean, the banks got the cash, absolutely. And the homeowners, I mean, I remember, you know, there we are again, back when HAMP, part of the bailout, was going through. It was laughable. I mean, they were approving literally, if they got 1,000, they're going to call it a success. But for a while, they didn't have one single HAMP approval, which was going to the consumer.
The banks
took all the money, and for the most part, when markets were shaky, the banks were taking massive amounts of money, buying U.S. Treasuries from the buying Treasury notes from the Fed or from the U.S. Treasury, and basically they were loaning the money back to the government at sometimes 3, 4, 10, 8% more than or 8 times more than they were borrowing it for.
Right.
So then. And the real insult to it all comes, and one of the reasons that I'm convinced that they did this settlement is because then after all that, and that was the bailout, everyone's like, oh, this is so terrible. It's like, no, dude, you don't have a clue.
Mm-hmm.
The real bailout came in the form of all these mortgages and these bundled securities, which I know you've gone on, you know, forever about how nobody knows what's in them. Nobody, you know, you don't have ownership of them or anything. You know, nobody knows who owns what because they're all sliced and diced and compiled. The government started buying those from the banks pretty much at face value. So it's like the banks said, hey, look, we got a bag of flaming dog poop. You want to buy it? And the Federal Reserve's going, yeah, okay. So
right.
I'm convinced one of the reasons the government wants to settle this is because if they have to go through and break out, and the way it was set up, they had to take each case individually. And you want to talk about massive. That's like 3.8 million cases at least. And the government's probably looking at it going, hey, wait, some of these cases are we own them, or at least we think we do.
Well, see, and that's a big thing because, you know, as David Scott, Representative David Scott, Democrat from Georgia, Representative Elijah Cummings, a Democrat from Maryland back then, you know, they went after the TARP administrator, Neil Kashkari, who was also a Goldman banker. Remember, folks, the fox is still guarding the in-house, and they called him a chump for the banks. They were angry. Both sides were angry because they were lied to once again. So in January 2009, they decided they were going to cancel the other $350 billion of TARP that had yet to be approved. And, you know, so what did they do? The bailout guys, including Obama's big boy, Larry Summers, he was a senior economic advisor to then-President-elect Barack Obama, sent a pair of letters to Congress, okay? You know, Summers had actually been forced out as Harvard president because he said that women lacked a natural aptitude for math and science. So we can tell how big he is, right? Where his mindset is there.
Yeah.
So anyway, Summers lays out a 5-point plan. All right. He said the bailout was going to be this big populist program that's going to help ordinary Americans. You know, Obama was going to use the money to stimulate bank lending. It was going to put people back to work. He said the banks would be denied funding unless they agree to increase lending above their baseline levels. There was going to be tough, transparent conditions, blah, blah, blah. You need to go to Matt Pichabi and read this. But the bottom line is they pledged that the bailout money would be used to aid homeowners in foreclosure. Now, if you would aid those homeowners in foreclosure and give them a real deal instead of the bullshit they've been doing for all those years, the banks would be making money hand over fist. Because remember, most of those foreclosures And I would estimate 95% of them, and that's my personal estimate based on the things that I've put together, 95% of them are avoidable foreclosures. These people can pay their mortgage. They can pay their mortgage on time if they were given them reasonable accommodations, which means a reasonable interest rate and things like that. But he said the bailouts would be temporary. They were going to exit government intervention as quickly as possible. Once again, Congress bought it hook, line, and sinker. Originally, there was going to be $50 billion, I believe it was, that was going to be put out there. That got knocked back to $30 billion. You talk about the HAMP program a second ago. The HAMP program has been a dismal failure, folks. This bailout was a bipartisan program. We always gripe about bipartisanship. We got our bipartisanship in this. But both these guys, Bush and Obama, never once gave a damn concern one bit to the man on the street or the people who needed the help. They gave it all to the banks. So when we look at this, you know, the HAMP program was a dismal failure, and they basically helped maybe 1%. So out of $700 billion, folks, 1% of the people who were supposed to be helped by that have been helped, even 4 years later today. How crazy is that, Ed?
Oh, it is. I mean, and like I say, there's so many ways in which the government has underwritten stuff. The government has bought assets off of people, off the banks. And it's all been about the banks. And this is what, you know, cracks me up, is people want to know. I think actually the informed voters, people are like, well, why didn't the Republicans, why didn't they turn out to vote for Mitt? It's like, well, because I think a lot of them knew this. A lot of them knew, you know, it's like, oh, God, you know, you're going to put one of these guys in. It's like, what, 4 more years of this crap, you know?
Yep.
They wanted a Teddy Roosevelt to stand up and fight for the little guy or something. You know, please, something. And that's one of the reasons Mitt lost, is because enough informed voters knew. It's like, look, this guy's talking about preserving all this crap. He's not going to change anything. He knows the thing, and Mitt wasted such an opportunity because he knows he's smart enough to know the screw job that was perpetrated, but he wasn't going to do anything about it. So that's why.
Well, that's the whole point. I think most of them are smart enough to know what they were doing, but they were benefiting from it on a personal level.
I don't think they are. Honest to God, I think there's probably 20 of them in Washington that know, and everybody else follows.
That's fine. There was 20 of them who should have done something about it, including Mitt Romney's running mate, Paul Ryan. Let's go to the phones. Caller 410 number, you are on the air.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Doing good. What can we do for you?
Listen, I don't trust anybody in Washington. The GOP is screwed because it was ever left or right. You understand that the fiscal cliff and all this is portrayed simply so they can get votes. Most of them, once you kick the can down the road, thinking they're not going to be there in the first place when it comes to, you know, when hell comes to the roost. So, you know, I'm kind of tired of it. And I hope most people are, because I'm curious. The GOP ain't going to help anybody. The GOP is Democrat-light. They don't like conservatives. They don't like minorities. They don't want to do what's right to win. All this crap, all this stuff that's coming down from D.C., all this cliff and crap has been going on for, what, 8 years? And now all of a sudden, in the last second, we have to hear from it?
It's fascinating. It's fascinating because Rand Paul touched on this in an interview over the weekend. He said, this thing has been going on for 10 years now. So it's been longer than 8 years.
Yeah.
He goes, it's been going on for 10 years, 10 days, and some other number he put on top of it. He says, we're giving this bill at 1:36 a.m. and expected to vote on it by 1:39 a.m.
Yeah.
And fix a problem that they set in motion 10 years ago without any discussion. That's why he voted against it. Yeah, go ahead.
Everybody's worried about Obama taking over the country by all these other things. He's doing it by the tax code because he's constricting and restricting the economy. He's destroying the economy left and right. You take more money out of our pockets, the economy becomes less. We can't spend it. Jobs go, businesses go. So we become a less, economic. Everything shrinks. He's already doing it.
Well, you know, we talked about that last week.
By the tax structure.
Is there another part in history? Is there another time in history when you can remember something similar to this?
Well, if you're going to look at the after the good old days in the 20s, other than that, if you want to look at people taking away guns, you look at history.
See, actually, where I was going at is something we mentioned last week, because we talked about Germany and Austria. you know, that was one of the things. When Hitler came into Austria, people hate it when I make this comparison, but folks, I don't write history. I just repeat it, okay? But when Hitler came into Austria, he was hailed as a hero because Austria had, you know. Go ahead.
But isn't it true? Because we're going to do the same thing. We're going to inflate our currency to what he did.
Exactly. That's exactly what we're doing.
The exact same thing that he did.
That's exactly what we're doing. And that's the whole point. Because Hitler went to Austria, the flags were waving, the people were cheering, you know, and they were going to have this great life because they were going to get jobs, there was going to be infrastructure, blah, 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 blah. And Hitler went in and just took everything. And then as time started getting even worse, then he started taking more and more away. And once he got the guns, then all of a sudden you had 80% taxation. That's history, folks. Look it up. 80% taxation. The people who were paying the taxes were starving as much as the people who couldn't get a job. He took guns so you couldn't revolt.
Isn't that one of the big things that big government got involved in the government then? Big business got involved with Hitler. And isn't that what we're seeing, like GE and all this?
You
isn't it the same road? I mean, it's almost identical.
GE's Jeffrey Imeld is the biggest joke there is to me. Him and Barack Obama are locked at the hip. Yeah, and there's no better way to prove that since you bring up GE. There's no better way to prove that today. Obama makes GE's chairman, Jeffrey Imeld, his job czar, puts him in charge of this job creation thing. What has GE done under Jeffrey Imeld's leadership since 2010? They have eliminated almost 30,000 jobs right here in the U.S., and they have created over 35,000 jobs in China. What is this guy going to do for American workers? You know, it's a net loss no matter which way you look at it on jobs. But when you're taking all the jobs out of the USA and going over to China because it's cheaper, you're not doing anything for U.S. jobs. And that's GE's Jeffrey Imeld.
Isn't there a big difference, though? We have all the media here. So I'm kind of curious of how dumb and ignorant people can be in the country.
I don't think they're dumb. I don't think they're dumb and ignorant. I honestly think
really?
That people. Well, I mean, yeah, they're dumb and ignorant. They're dumb and ignorant, but they're dumb and ignorant because they don't ask for answers. But the reason they are, and really, if you look back and you look at this primarily over the last 20 or 30 years, you know, you're going to see a media, you know, that works in conjunction with the liberal agenda. You know,
really?
Most people today are so busy. Well, think about this though. Most people today are so busy. I'm sorry.
Do you listen to the mainstream media? I mean, come on.
Well, I don't listen to any of them. I tell you what I listen to on TV. If I have to listen to the media at all, I will listen to three different sources, your CNN, Fox, and MSNBC, during a presidential debate or something. The rest of my information I would rather read online and compare to alternative sources. I don't believe anything mainstream media gets.
A country that doesn't listen or learn from what's going on. 1930s Germany, people didn't know. They didn't have access to this information.
Right.
We do now. We have access to it. People just, I mean, I don't
what
get
do
I don't understand
what do you say
history
to this argument,
repeats itself, but.
But what do you say to this argument, though? Because here's the thing. You know, people today have become so ultra busy. Nobody knows how to slow down anymore. They're running between two jobs, or everybody's a single parent. Nobody wants to raise their kids right anymore. They all want to be single parents and think it's cool because they can get more money from the government, I guess. But, you know, when you look at all of this stuff in play, so people are getting their media. You know, these people are getting their media from local TV news or national news in 30-second and 1-minute sound bites. You know, and that's the only time they've got. Most people don't spend the amount of time and do the due diligence that folks like I do, folks like Mr. Martin does, and apparently you do, sir. You know, we do the due diligence. Now, for me, this is my way of life. This is, you know, this is how I make a living. So, you know, call me what you will.
Yeah.
But most of the people I run with do the same thing. They don't do this for a living.
Oh.
They have regular jobs, but they get informed.
However, yeah, I have it, and I have several. But, however, most of us have kids, and most of us care about the kids. So your due diligence is to protect them in the future, which most people haven't done. I'm fed up entirely with ignorance and what's going on. I'm fed up with Obama lying to us. I just can't. I don't even listen to him anymore. I can't take him.
But my problem is it's not just Obama that's lying to us. I can't stand Barack Obama. I cannot believe the American people elected him again. Even though Mitt Romney was a poor choice, I think my dog that lives next door that barks all night is a better choice than Barack Obama for president of the United States. I would put up anybody against Barack Obama and think that they would be a better president, even Mitt Romney. But the problem is it's not just the liberal left or the Democrats or Barack Obama that's lying to us. It's also the right side, the Republicans, and the so-called conservatives. I mean, you had Tea Party members who voted for this fiscal cliff bailout last week. You had Mitch McConnell. You had Mitch McConnell now speaking about spending.
Why did Paul Ryan vote for that?
I agree. I'd say that's exactly it. I agree. Here's a guy who was going out on for the last year and a half preaching about conservative values and fiscal responsibility, and how he was going to be a great vice president accordingly. He put together the Ryan plan and all this other crap, and then he goes and votes for this too. Ryan has never been nothing more than a double dealer, just like Mitt Romney, okay? So the devil you know sometimes is better than the devil you don't, but in this particular case, we were going to get a devil either way. My problem is when the Tea Party has abandoned their principles, for Mitch McConnell to go out this weekend and face the nation Sunday morning, I actually did watch that because I wanted to see what he had to say and what Nancy Pelosi had to say. And Mitch McConnell is talking about how we need to rein in spending. He's one of the biggest pork barrel producers out there. He's one of the people who added a ton of pork to the Hurricane Sandy bill.
Honestly, what are we going to do? I mean, come on. These people know the game, and they play the game, and they think people's minds are just so little small they forget, and that's what they go on. Mitch McConnell is a little better than Boehner, but really, I mean, we have to rein in spending. Really, if you have any intelligence, you just go out there and say, what do you do when you start making less money as a household? Well, you stop spending as much. You rein it in. You stop and you can it. We don't. We tax people more and screw everything in even more up. Nobody, I mean, come on. Everybody understands that. But nobody's going to sit there and say it.
Most normal people understand that.
They're looking at a career instead of what the hell they're supposed to do.
But you have got close to 50% of the population who is being subsidized by federal dollars, whether that's food stamps, Section 8 rent assistance, child care, whatever. Almost 50% of the population is receiving federal government subsidies in one form or another. So now you've got.
Well, in that number, you got to throw Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. But yeah, they're dependent on certain, you know, the politicians staying happy and continuing to buy their votes and. Whether it's a COLA adjustment or whatever, a lot of it's been paid into, but we've gotten to that point. Now, when it gets to the fiscal cliff, Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, and everything, I think the biggest problem we have is that they are through and through they are politicians. They're more about politics. I mean, let's face it, this is an accounting and a finance issue. It's about, you know, whether you balance the budgets or whether you just get closer to balancing the budget, mm-hmm. whether you find a way to stimulate the economy so that income goes up or whether you raise taxes. I mean, it all needs to be on the table. But what do they spend their time doing?
What do you think about
For the last 2 years, Mitch McConnell's been saying, he's focused on what? Making Barack Obama a one-term president, and Paul Ryan's in the election, and everybody's running an election. Everybody's doing politician crap, and then they all wake up post-election and go, oh, wow, look, we signed off on this 2 years ago. We better get to cracking. And like,
yeah, that's the whole thing.
You got to vote on it 3 minutes later because it's like cramming for a test. Y'all have been screwing around for 2 years, not solving problems. You've been playing politics for 2 years.
Isn't the whole purpose of Washington not to solve problems? It's like any commission they create. It's not to solve it, because if you solve it, there's no such thing as what they create.
I mean, they don't want answers.
No,
they don't want answers.
Problems just don't exist.
Well, here's part of the problem, though, and here's part of the problem. This is where we come right back to the secret lies of Matt Taibbi, because this is very important for people to know. You know, these banks were promised the TARP bailout funds to stimulate the economy. The homeowners were going to get the help they needed. The banks were going to lend the rest of the money. The feds were going to buy all the bad debt. They didn't have to worry about anything. They got the money that they requested, but there was no requirement anywhere attached to any aspect of the bailout. Instead of putting all this in writing as a condition of getting the money, the government trusted the banks, who put themselves in that situation. The TARP bailouts were led by Goldman Sachs bankers. They trusted them to do the right thing, and they were the biggest problems. So what happened was, okay, for those who don't know, all major banks in the United States are required to keep a certain amount of cash at the Fed. It's reserve cash. It's required to be there. You know, an X amount has to be there at all times. Now, in past years, according to Yabby, and he's right, I've researched this, in past years, that money just sat there. It didn't earn any interest. You know, that money was there to keep the bank solvent. So why should they get paid interest on money that was used on their behalf? Well, what happened was in 2006, the Fed regulators decided they were going to start making interest payments on the money. It wasn't supposed to go into effect until 2011, but they actually instituted the interest payments in October of 2008, right when the TARP bailouts hit. So what happened? What happened was instead of having a minimal amount of money at the Fed drawing 0.25% interest once they approved the interest rates, you know, in October of 2008, in August of 2008, I should say, before they started the bailout, there was only $2 billion in excess reserves at the Fed. By October, less than 3 months later, that number went to $267 billion. A year later, or in January 2009, just 3 months later, it already almost quadrupled to $843 billion. The Fed is sitting on $1.4 trillion that the banks have left parked there so that they can draw interest and make profits. The money is not doing one damn thing. They took the TARP bailout money, sat it in the Fed, getting 0.25% interest, and they're paying about $3.6 billion a year in interest. Now, it doesn't seem like a whole hell of a lot of money, but $3.6 billion spread over the two or three top banks, that's $1 billion in profits for this interest that should be out working in the economy. So you got $1.4 trillion not doing anything.
First, didn't the Reinvestment Act have something to do with that? Second of all, the Fed is illegal in the first place.
Right.
The Fed is controlling all our money output again. Unless we audit them, we'll never know what the hell they do. Because
well, you know, Ron Paul, that gets back to the Pauls. Ron Paul has been dead right on the Fed forever. He's been dead right on the Fed being unconstitutional. He's been begging for an audit, but they're not going to get audited because the politicians, the political leaders, refuse to do their job and get accountability because then they're going to lose their lobby interest money. They're going to lose their free trips to Hawaii. They're going to lose their daggone, you know, free dinners everywhere so they can look like kings and queens and be treated like the elite.
Doesn't it come to a head? Come on. Obama just took a $7 million vacation to Hawaii, why he's raising taxes on every working person who makes under $10,000 a year.
Really,
what I've often said, and it's Jim Rogers, one of my favorite investors, it's like people complain about Barack Obama on vacation. And Jim Rogers, super wealthy investor. He's one of the good ones. He said, I'll pay for all their vacations. Send all 535 on a vacation. I'll buy them a vacation for the next 3 or 4 years. Get them the hell out of Washington.
We'll do the math.
So I don't mind him not in there doing that. You know, it's like, please, get more people out of Washington.
Let me ask you this.
But here's the thing, though, caller, and I'm going to take your side on this, caller, and then I'll let you chime in. But here's the deal. Barack Obama was in Hawaii. On vacation already, okay? He decided he had to fly back because this was too important. So he sat around, let Congress make their decision, said, okay, I'm going to approve this, decided to go to the White House meeting room, tell all the reporters, yep, we're going to approve this, and then immediately flew back to Hawaii where he signed the actual bill with an electronic signature.
He doubled the cost of that trip.
Yeah, he doubled the cost of that trip. $180,000 an hour.
Not only that, but as I said, it's pure flipping politics because Congress, both the Senate and the House, they knew. They knew this was coming. They've known it for 2 years. They punched that ticket 2 years ago. Barack Obama knew this was coming. You know what? I've scheduled vacations around busy times and slow times. He knew it was coming. So what in the hell was he doing in Hawaii for anyway? Because he knew this fight was coming. Just like the debt ceiling raise. Look, you know when it's coming. Don't schedule a vacation. You might
really asking why Obama went to Hawaii? Obama hates America. He was shoving it to us.
I'll actually agree with you there, but I'm not going to go out on a limb on that part just now. My biggest problem is, you know, I don't mind my president taking a vacation, but if it was so damn important for him to be close to Washington, How much money does it cost us to run Camp David every year?
Really, how much money does it cost to fly back and forth? A couple million dollars?
$180,000 an hour for 14 hours.
He's bitching and complaining about $63 billion in this so-called fiscal cliff they created, and he spent more than that going back and forth. They had this plan. Listen, I know that. Both the Republicans and Democrats had this plan to the last minute. You knew they were going to do this.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is the way they always do.
I mean, this was all this was planned. This was not something new. This was not something. It was all staged, but they're assholes. And the problem is most people don't understand, and they don't get it. They're screwing us over left and right, and these people are making it out. These people are not going to have to
too.
To go buy Obamacare. They can do these underhand deals and create this better life for themselves. And they screw up over left and right.
Sure. And they've made it even worse today, and nobody's paying attention to this story either. You don't even see this on the mainstream news. But, you know, we had the thing. Once they realized that the American people were wising up, the people who had been illegally foreclosed on and all these foreclosures were wising up, the homeowners were starting to realize that they were getting shafted after being promised these things that didn't develop, they started this thing called independent review. It's independent foreclosure review. It's a government-sponsored program so that everybody who has a foreclosure going on, that wants to challenge a foreclosure, wants a loan modification, whatever, they have to write into this independent foreclosure review place. It's supposed to be overseen and everything else, and they're going to come up with a plan to help all these people. Well, here we go again, folks, because over the last 2 years, they weren't planning on doing anything until at least 2013, and I believe they were supposed to start notifying people the end of this month, January of 2013, of what their status was at the independent foreclosure review. Well, today, yes, folks, today it was announced that this chapter is now over as well. The banks got a wrist slap. The U.S. banks were slapped with a $10 billion fine. That was it. They're going to pay $10 billion in a fine. $3.3 billion is supposed to be in some form of direct cash, which means all these people who are illegally foreclosed on are probably going to get a check for $9.95 by the time it's all added in. You know how that goes, because the lawyers are going to get rich on it. And then the other $5.2 billion is supposed to go on what's called other assistance. However, there is nothing there that says what that other assistance will be, no more than there was anything in the original TARP bailout that forced the government to do their job. So now, the independent foreclosure review that millions of people, we lost our caller. I'm sorry, caller, call back in. I don't know how that happened. But millions of people had decided to get involved with this independent foreclosure review because they thought it was actually going to help them. Now this chapter is closed, too. Now they're not going to get help again.
Well, that's why they did it. That's why they did it, because I think the number is 3.8 million people are lining up for this, and it has to be done on a case-by-case basis, which, you know, that's fair. That's due process, but the government didn't want it. The banks didn't want it, because just like going to court, you know, for a slip and fall or something, they could get ugly for you. So, yeah, they come out and they say, oh, it's just $10 billion, $11 billion, whatever. But, you know, and they're out there, and I haven't turned on the news, and I probably won't on the national level, but, you know, they're going to be saying, oh, there's $11 billion settlement. You know, that'll hurt the banks, you know, but they won't go into how much money the banks made or how much damage they did to the economy, you know, the $50 trillion housing market.
Well, they got $700 billion in our tax money, and they're getting reimbursed over $3 billion a year just in interest. And here's the fascinating thing.
And then they get to sell all these flaming bags of poop in these mortgage securities for full price to the government. And, but then you do the simple math. It's like, well, $11 billion sounds like a lot until you divide it by roughly $4 billion. And it's like, oh.
Well, here's the thing.
So you got illegally foreclosed on. They wrecked your credit. You know, they probably broke up your marriage. You know, repossessed your house, drove you into Section 8, caused you to lose your job. Anything that can happen, all the bad things that can happen in an illegal foreclosure that they had no right to do in the first place. And here, on average, you can get a $2,500 check 4 to 8 years after the fact.
Well, here's what they're saying.
So that works out to about, you know, it works out to about $300 a year, $500 a year for your troubles. Well, thank you so flipping much. You know,
Well, here's something else you got to look at too.
I'm glad they're taking up the fight for the little guy. Dang, darn it. I feel warm and fuzzy inside.
Well, it's $3.3 billion is what they're going to give out in the form of direct cash. Now, the last number I saw, and it's probably low, the last number I saw was somewhere around 3.5 million borrowers whose homes were impacted by this. You know, they're saying that the eligible borrowers are going to receive compensation ranging from hundreds of dollars up to $125,000, depending on the type of error that was created to force them into this. Now, here's the thing. $3.3 billion, folks. If you divide it up, let's use simple math to make it 3.3 million borrowers, because I don't know everybody. There's probably more than that. Well, let's use simple math. That's $1,000 per person average before you factor in the lawyer's commission, which is going to be 15 to 20% on something this size. So now that knocks that amount down to $700 or $800 on average. Then you're going to pay taxes on it. This is literally going to cost $200 to $300 a person on average is what you're going to get for losing something that you've invested thousands and thousands of dollars in because of greed and corruption by the banks. That's alarming. But
yeah.
They approved it today.
It probably costs these people more than that to rent a truck to move out of the house that they were illegally foreclosed on. And it all comes down the pipe. Three, four, five years after the fact. So it's like I say, here's a couple hundred dollars a year for your troubles, and that might actually cover your deposit on the apartment that you're living in and the rental truck that cost you to move into your apartment because the bank screwed you out of your house.
Betcha. And you know who's involved in this? The biggest scam artist that created this whole situation in the first place. Aurora, Bank of America, Citibank, J.P. Morgan Chase, MetLife Bank, PNC, Sovereign, SunTrust, U.S. Bank, and Wells Fargo. Those 10 are the ones who gave into this agreement.
Yeah.
Those 10 are now off the hook.
And it also one of the guys I hate the most in the world, Andrew Mozilo from Countrywide, which was bought by Bank of America. You know, here's a guy that got off just recently, given all those special loans to the members in Congress and looked the other way while he was making these shaky-ass loans and securitizing them, and Congress found themselves not guilty of any ethics violations, taking these special rate loans from Andrew Mozilo, whose company is now owned by Bank of America. Thank you very much.
Yep, and those 10 were the biggest ones involved in this whole fiasco. They are now off the hook. They are no longer required to deal with the independent foreclosure review. Now, what they did say was, and pardon me for the cough, folks, what they did say was that you still have the right to independently sue the bank. Well, the problem with that is, and this has always been the problem, which is why everybody was looking for this independent foreclosure review and the government to step in and do the right thing. The problem is, in order for you to do that, it's a costly event. It costs you more than $200 to file a lawsuit in federal court to take these guys on. Then you have to hire an attorney. It's going to cost you thousands of dollars for an attorney because they're never going to take a case like this, you know, and thinking they're going to get paid later on some kind of a service agreement. So you're going to pay them up front. Then the banks are going to continue to go back and forth, costing you more money with depositions and counteractions and everything else. So you're going to spend 3 to 5 years and thousands of dollars going after something so you can get a $300 payoff. That's pathetic.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
And they know this.
And never mind that the bank illegally took your biggest asset. So you're in foreclosure. You don't have the money anymore. It's not like you're duking it out with somebody. You know, it could be an equity loan. If they really wanted to fight you, they could get a home equity loan. The banks completely destroyed the wealth of a bunch of people, and now there's a bunch of people whom the banks actually destroyed and disarmed of money beforehand are now sitting there saying, well, come get us. You know, come at me, bro.
Well, conspicuously absent from this list.
Game's over. Congress sold you out. That's all there is to it.
Oh, there's no doubt. And conspicuously absent from this list, one of the biggest names I looked at and looked for on this list was Ally and GMAC, GMAC and Ally. They're the ones who tried to illegally foreclose on me 4 times. And, you know, and so they're not on this list. So that means they're still in negotiations. So they're going to negotiate their own deal, and anybody that's with those guys or the others is going to be screwed out too. You know, and that's the whole problem. We depend on these guys who created this mess. You know, they tried to sell us that they were trying to resolve it with this independent foreclosure review crap, and now it turns out that was all a lie too. As long as the government gets what they want, it's okay. You can buy justice in this country if you have money. That just appears to be the way it is. Look at HBC and the illegal drug trafficking and things they were doing just a couple of weeks ago that was big news. Look at this here. This has been going on for years. I strongly urge you guys, really truthfully, and I never, ever push other authors on this show because my job is LouisvillePolitics.com and the MVM Radio Network. And, you know, we want to continue being number one in your hearts and minds. But I'm going to tell you, you need to go to Rolling Stone and check out Matt Taibbi's story. You know, normally I wouldn't do this, but it's very important for you to see what's really going on. And I think Taibbi did a great job with it. There's a link in the chat room now for it. I just put up for you guys that want to log in the chat room to get that link. You can do so. But that's something that really needs to be looked at and paid attention to. Ed, we can go on for hours with this, but unfortunately, time is our enemy. Final thoughts.
Well, final thoughts. You know, of course, it's with the fiscal cliff. Way back, I called it theater, and it's still theater. But when it comes to a lot of this stuff, I think the American public, there are certain elements of it that are getting aggravated, and rightfully so, and they're informed. And that's generally what leads to the aggravation. But government, just like this foreclosure stuff, just like the fiscal cliff, I think the media is actually more to blame than the government because they keep us preoccupied. So much crap falls into the rearview mirror. Hey, how many people, when they're talking about the fiscal cliff, how many people actually piped up in the media and said, hey, wait a minute, you've had 2 years to work on this? And it's just like with this foreclosure settlement thing. It's been going on for half a dozen years, and I think the bastards in government look at it and go, is it far enough in the rearview mirror to ignore it now? Is it far enough in the rearview mirror that the American public has forgotten about it? I mean, they're talking about this mortgage foreclosure settlement. It blew up a couple years ago when some people started challenging the ownership of these mortgages. And it was a hot topic. And it had to do with, you know, I remember when the president was real close to signing, although actually vetoed a thing where it was any signature based on any given state law, you finally need state law, they were going to be okay. It's been going on for a while, and it was hot. It was a hot topic a few years ago, but it's cooled off enough. So now that it's cooled off, Barack Obama, Eric Holder, and all their complicit people in Congress, Democrat and Republican, they all look at each other and go, you almost got to wonder if they look at each other in a room and say, hey, you think these people have forgotten about this? Think it's cooled off enough that we can just sweep it under the rug now? And obviously they all go, yeah, what the hell? It's been 6 years, it's been 6 years since it started. It's been a couple years since a flare-up. Sure, sweep it under the rug. American Idol tryouts are about to begin. They'll never notice. And that's madness for me.
Well, and it really is. And I tell you, one of the biggest things that really drives me nuts, if you need further proof, folks, that you've been had, just pay attention going forward. You know, even so much as the bonuses to the executives of Wall Street, they weren't going to be allowed any bonuses whatsoever, if they took bailout money until they got their crap together. But, of course, that was a lie. Because any bank could apply to the Fed and other regulators and get waivered, and the Fed gladly approved the waivers. Even Citigroup. Citigroup, one guy turned down the request to pay out bonuses only to be overridden by his superiors. That's pathetic. There was no limit in place on bonuses with TARP. So what they did is they took $700 billion of our money. They put that money, fixed their bad accounts so that they showed a positive underdog on books, took the rest of the money, parked it in the Federal Reserve in cash on hand, that went from a couple dozen billion in August of 2008 to over $1.4 trillion just sitting there that's not being used whatsoever to aid the economy or the homeowners. And that's what was supposed to be done with the bailout money. It wasn't done. But the banks and all the executives, to give you one example, AIG paid more than $1 million to 73 employees of AIG Financial Products. That unit alone was responsible for destroying AIG insurance, but they got $1 million. What else did they destroy? Well, AIG itself was responsible for $500 billion in these credit default swaps. It already bankrupted cities around the country. Birmingham, Alabama, I talk about continuously on this show as being a great example of how toxic these things really were. Jefferson County, Alabama had to file bankruptcy because of these credit default swaps that AIG was pushing around that were junk. They fell for it. That's the problem, folks. We continue falling for the same thing. You know, it's commonly said that, you know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And that's exactly what we're doing. We are allowing ourselves to fall into insanity because we continue to trust these people. Independent Foreclosure Review is yet another example of misguided trust. It's time to get involved. Write your congressman, write your senator, write your representative, write your local attorney general in whatever state you're in today, and tell them you've had enough. Even our attorney general, Jack Conway, jumped on board of this settlement, this housing settlement. Nobody in Kentucky has been helped with that. They're lying through their teeth when they say they are. It's pathetic. It's theft, and we've allowed it. That's it for tonight. Tomorrow night, we'll be back here at 7 with Ed. May even be joined by our good friend Michael Lewis over at Independent Kentucky. I kind of want to get an idea of what's going on with Session coming back into place now. Let's see what's going on with the independents and their voting rights. Hopefully, Michael can join us tomorrow night. Until then, Mr. Martin, have a great night.
You the same, Mr. Springsteen.
All right. Folks, tune in tomorrow night at 7 o'clock right here for the Ed Springsteen Show on the MVM Radio Network. And don't forget to check out LouisvillePolitics.com. We'll see you later.